Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing this week, my friend?
Well, good. I am worried about our good friends in Ann Arbor. I just think without Jim Harbaugh there, the cheating is going to be a little more difficult. They're going to have to figure out some new ways to go about it. So I'm worried. I'm sure they'll get it figured out, but there's got to be some real concern in Ann Arbor as we head into the weekend.
Are you saying their level of cheating won't be as it won't be done as well as it has been with Jim Harbaugh? Is that what you're saying?
I think that is the very real concern. I'm not saying it can't be done, and I'm not saying the folks in Ann Arbor won't be able to figure it out, but I think it is a challenge to do it to the degree and have the success that Harbaugh has had the last couple of years.
Well, it's just like you, in Alabama, they're going to struggle to replace Nick Saban and his coaching ability. Your take is in Ann Arbor, they're going to have trouble replacing the cheating ability of Jim Harbaugh. That's an excellent way to put it, Jeff. And I do want to get to that, but we've got an announcement first, something I think we're both really excited. We are going to be part of an event at the Cafe 210, in downtown State College on February 12th. We are going to have Char Moret Curtis, who started the Teammates for Life, the initiative for Penn State women's athletics. Char is going to be there with us. We are going to have a celebration of women's athletics. We're also going to have Carolyn Keeger there. We are going to be broadcasting live from there, Jeff, from 5 to 6. There's also a wrestling match that night. So my understanding, you're going to make an early appearance there before you head over to for wrestling.
Jim, this is the first I'm hearing about any of this. I don't know. What are you talking about? No, yes, we are going to have a fantastic time. And yeah, listen, Cafe 210 would be a wonderful place if you're coming in for the weekend or you're heading up to the Jordan Center match between Penn State and Rutgers. Stop on by Cafe 210. You'll be joined by a ton of former Penn Staters, current Penn Staters, Penn State fans, and we can compare notes. You can hear from, as you said, Char Moret Curtis, and from Carolyn Keeger, the head coach of the Lady Lions basketball program. By the way, that Penn State team, I think, is going to be headed back to the NCAA tournament at the end of this season. She has that program heading in the right direction in a very quick way here this season. So an opportunity to hear from, listen, next to Joe Paterno, I'm not sure there's a more legendary figure in Penn State athletics or somebody that has been as impactful on the Penn State community as Char Moret Curtis. Tremendous amount of respect for what she did with the field hockey program, but she's about much more than that field hockey program. Always has been. Penn State through and through, a remarkable life story, and now the journey continues after her coaching career with this terrific endeavor where they're connecting young student athletes, female student athletes, with women from Penn State and beyond, but it's a Penn State mostly venture where, again, it's about networking, creating opportunities, understanding the history and how it can help with the future. And I think it's a really neat initiative that she is heading up, and we'll talk to her about that. And yes, it's the same night of the Penn State Rutgers dual meet. So I will be there from probably about 4:30 till 5:15 roughly. And then I have to head up to the Jordan Center to get ready for that big duel. But folks, come on down. You can enjoy, again, great food, a great opportunity to kind of meet and greet with some other Nittany Lion fans and a couple of, really important coaches here when you look at the history of Penn State women's athletics. And we'll be in the back area there. If you've been to Cafe 210, we'll be in that back area where they normally would have musical performances later in the evening. And that show from 5 to 6 is going to be the start of what I think is going to be a really, really cool relationship that we have with Shar Marek Curtis and with Penn State in general. And I think there's going to be some other really cool things coming down the road as a result of this. But very excited to get this show going. And our thanks to Shar Marek Curtis. Our thanks to Cafe 210. Again, it's going to be a really cool opportunity. And yeah, if you can get on down there, whether you're going to the Penn State match or not, but if you're going to the Penn State match, get down there a little earlier. We'll be down there kind of meeting and greeting folks at about 4:30. Again, the show will air on the radio, 98.7 FM, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox in Center County, starting at 5 o'clock and going to 6. But really excited about that opportunity, and I think it's going to be a really, really fun evening.
I do too, and it's great to be part of it. We're dubbing this the Winning Ways Tour. We're going to have several of these events. We're going to have several different coaches on as we go through it. As you mentioned, we're going to have Carolyn Keeger on. We might have a basketball player or two also make an appearance. You'll be there before heading out for the wrestling meet. I'm going to be there. Landon Tengwall will be there. Kendall Skalicki, the latest member of our team here at KSN Sports, will be there also. And you mentioned it will be on Fox Sports in State College 98.7. Also, it will be live streaming. You'll be able to get that from 98.7 The Fox website. You'll also get it from our app. We'll make sure it will be streaming there. We're going to have more details because we're going to have some great drink specials, some great food specials. See, that's the stuff I worry about, Jeff. That's the important thing.
Yeah, you cannot go wrong with the burger basket. I will start there. And yes, all kinds of great food and drink specials. And we'll be telling you more about that in the coming days, but really looking forward to that. Again, that'll be February 12th. The show will be from 5 to 6 at Cafe 210, but we invite you to come on down a little early, and it'd be a great way if you are coming in for that Penn State-Rutgers dual meet at the BJC to kick off your evening with some extra Penn State pride.
It's going to be great, and as you said, we'll be getting more details as we go forward. Our thanks also to JR from over at Cafe 210. He's been great to work with so far. Really anxious to continue that relationship with him. By the way, you and I were there for lunch yesterday too, and had a nice time. All right, Jeff, go ahead. You were going to say something.
I just had a little snack, the nachos, which could have fed an army of 10. I'm like, yeah, I'm not that hungry. I'll just get the nachos. And they bring out the nachos grande. Emphasis on the grande if you head down there. Just a little heads up.
Well, I went in. I hadn't had lunch. We got in there late. What was it, like 2:30 or so? Hadn't had lunch, so I'm going. I had the chicken cheese steak. And you were like, yeah, I'll just have a snack. And I saw that basket come over, Jeff. Oh, my goodness. Yes, emphasis on grande is a good way to put it. All right, let's shift back to some football. You mentioned it earlier this week, the big news, college football. Jim Harbaugh has found a new home in the NFL. I take it, Jeff, you're not upset to see him leaving the Big Ten.
That is fair to say. And listen, I mean, I'm having some fun with the cheating scandal because that's what opposing teams and fan bases do. But listen, what he did, in all honesty, in getting, I guess, what Michigan fans would perceive as the culture back, was significant. And, you know, I think to his credit, he's like, listen, I know what I'm doing. There was no panic from him when things didn't click right away and they didn't come out and start dominating or beat Ohio State. He's like, you know, I know what I'm doing. I am getting the players I want to get. And sure enough, you know, this season, whatever you want to say about it, I mean, they won the national title. I mean, at the end of the day, they won the national championship. And, you know, it's interesting. I think there are going to be some Michigan fans that are obviously upset. I think a lot of them will be upset or disappointed that he's leaving because they liked winning and he had them in a really good way. But I think most Michigan fans, the overwhelming majority, will wish him well moving on and thank him for the national title. Winning a national title, as we talk about maybe too often on the show, it is hard. Like, that is a really difficult proposition. And, you know, it's difficult to be one of the four playoff teams. And next year it'll, you know, still be a challenge even to be one of the 12. But to actually then go through and win it, that is a big, big deal. And listen, I was excited when Urban Meyer left Ohio State because I'm like, well, there's going to be a drop-off. I don't know how big it will be. And then Ryan Day comes in and doesn't lose in the Big Ten until the three games here with Michigan. But, I mean, it's been unbelievable. So, yes, I'm glad to see Jim Harbaugh leave. I'm going to hold my thought process on, yep, Michigan has to drop off until I see it happen because, again, Ohio State remained at a remarkably high level. I realize some of their fans don't think it's high enough. They're not winning national titles. They're not beating Michigan every year. But it really is pretty amazing what Ryan Day did in maintaining that. We'll see what happens with Michigan. I think it is really hard to do that, to maintain that, and especially in this era. And, you know, Alabama is going to be one of the fascinating watches here these next couple of years. Alabama is a great program, great history, great tradition, all of the facilities and all of that. But listen, Nick Saban was the driving reason why people were going to Alabama. It's why you're seeing a lot of folks enter the transfer portal there. I am really curious to see, one, if Michigan does go in-house, as many are projecting, and that's what I'm expecting. And if they do, does that allow them to keep most of the players that would return? And listen, it was a senior-laden team. I mean, there is a reason Michigan had the success it did this past year. They had a lot of guys that opted to come back for another year that probably could have left after last season. So they're going to be replacing a bunch of folks regardless. But if they're able to keep most of the players that Harbaugh had in the classes that still had eligibility, it is going to be a fascinating watch to see where Michigan fits in next year, where Ohio State, which has, again, gone all in on making next year a big year, and then obviously everybody else, how does it shake out in the Big Ten?
It will be real interesting. I have a couple follow-up questions, which we're going to get to, Jeff, as soon as we come back. We're done quarter one. Let's stay tuned for quarter number two. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're talking college football. A lot going on around the country. We were talking about Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan, and I'll tell you, Jeff, what I was most impressed with Michigan winning the national championship, setting the cheating aside, this is now three straight years that they made the playoffs, culminating in the national championship this year. Also, they do not recruit at the level of the very top. When you have Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, every single year, they're 1, 2, 3. They get the very best players. I'm not saying it's not a challenge for them to win national championships. Obviously it is. But it's a little easier when you're starting at that level. The great line about Ryan Day when he took over was, well, he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple, meaning the talent was there at Ohio State when he stepped in. The fact is, Jim Harbaugh won a national championship, and it's not a fluke because he was to the playoffs three straight years without the very best talent in the country.
No, I think that's a great point, and I think it goes to the culture, and we see this, you know, in sports, I think more than maybe the average fan would think we do, where it is not always the most talented team that ends up winning championships. It is, yes, you have to have talent. That is certainly an important component. But especially in a sport like football, that the camaraderie, the understanding of purpose day in and day out, the consistency with which you practice, the way you're able to put that into a game, and just kind of the feel that players have for one another. Okay, I know this guy's doing his job. I just need to do my job. Like, all of that stuff is important. And all teams try to do it, but Jim Harbaugh, no question, Jim. I mean, Michigan was as consistent of a program as anybody in the country over the last three seasons. And they also, Jim, I think to Harbaugh's credit, did it a little differently than most of the teams are doing it now, right? Like, this was old school Big Ten football to a large extent. It was, man, we are going to run it down your throat. We are going to play fantastic defense, keep the pressure on you, and wait for you to make a mistake to a large degree. And that's not, again, I'm not undervaluing what J.J. McCarthy obviously brought to the table at quarterback in their passing game this year. But listen, this was run first. Let's take care of the football, and let's, you know, really prioritize our defense. And I think that stuff works consistently really, really well. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Sherrone Moore is, in fact, the next head coach, the successor, he obviously knows what was happening and how it worked at Michigan. But it's different when you're head coach versus assistant. And we'll see how well or not well he is at kind of keeping the mentality going and also getting the right fit. Again, recruiting is, it's not just getting talent. It's getting the right people that fit your system, your culture. I mean, it's all part of it. And yes, do you make exceptions when you have exceptional talent? You're darn right you do. These guys aren't dumb. You're not going to turn away a guy that can be an absolute difference maker with his talent level. But I do think that culture component is important. And I think, you know, as we've talked about many times, that's one of the things that I think James Franklin really does not get enough credit for from the Penn State fan base for what he has done with the Nittany Lions program.
But you also mentioned J.J. McCarthy on this team. Good quarterback, not great quarterback. This is not the situation like we saw at LSU a couple years ago with Joe Burrow. That was an outlier for LSU to win a national championship, but that offense was an outlier, and so was that quarterback. At Clemson, I always bring this up, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, they were difference makers on those teams, and Michigan did not have that at quarterback, and I think the best example of it was the Michigan-Penn State game. What did he throw the ball? 8 times in that game?
Yep.
And they beat a top 10 team specifically by running the ball. And that's what I also am impressed with. Jim Harbaugh has a formula. He executed that formula, Jeff.
Yeah. And listen, there were not many people nationally that were giving Michigan much of a chance against Alabama. I mean, I know they were the betting favorite. Right. I get it. But if you were watching the talking heads, like a lot of the inside football people in the media were like, yeah, listen, I mean, Michigan's good, but come on, a Big Ten team beating an SEC champion, let's be real. And they won it at the line of scrimmage. Right. Like, I mean, that is where Jim Harbaugh made his mark with that Michigan program. Did a great job, obviously, across the board, but where they won the big games, where they beat Ohio State, where they beat Alabama, where they won the national title over Washington, they were winning the battles up front.
they were. That was his formula. He executed it. The other thing to point out, Jeff, and I did this early in the season too, I made fun of Michigan's out-of-conference schedule. It was ridiculously bad. It was awful. But by the end of the season, they beat four top 10 teams, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, and Washington. And I believe in every one of those games, they were the better team. They weren't fluke wins. Throw in an absolute domination of a top 20 team in Iowa in the conference championship game. It was a tremendous job by Jim Harbaugh. We may feel the way we do as opposing team fans, and he's a bizarre guy, all of those things, but you can't take away from what he accomplished. Now, in this conversation, Jeff, you mentioned Ohio State coming into this season. I think it's fair to expect a potential drop-off with Michigan, but Ohio State, they are putting all the chips in on this season. They're retaining their players. They're bringing in big-time guys in the portal. They're spending the money it takes. They are doing everything this year to win, are they not?
Yeah, they definitely feel the pressure, and I think they are responding. I am really curious to see how it comes together, or doesn't, in Columbus. They're going to win, obviously, a lot more games than they lose, but are they going to get over the top? And, I mean, it really does feel now like it is kind of national championship or bust. Like, I don't think they're going to be sitting around rejoicing even if they get to the championship game and lose in overtime by a field goal. Like, it feels like they are saying, listen, we need to win it all now. And certainly the feeling there is they need to win the game at the end of the year in conference. But I think, and certainly need to get to the playoffs. But again, to me, I think they are saying, listen, the standard needs to be winning national titles. We just saw our biggest rival do it. We can't sit around and tolerate that. And yeah, I agree. They're going all in. I think they are not as focused on the culture part. And I think Ryan Day has also done a great job of creating that culture at Ohio State. But I think this year it feels to me from the outside looking in that it's, hey, culture important, getting the best players we can more important, and we'll see how it plays out. I think when you're going all in on the NIL, the danger there is you're getting some players in not because they want to be Buckeyes, not because they want to be part of something special at Ohio State, but because, hey, this is the most lucrative opportunity for me. And that doesn't preclude, obviously, that they can also buy in and want to be part of something special with Ohio State and all of that. But whether or not all of those guys or most of those guys are going to be culture guys, or whether or not there's some egos there that could disrupt that in the locker room, I think it is going to be one of the really fascinating stories to watch in 2024. Again, Ohio State is going to win a lot more than it loses, but when you get Ohio State against a Penn State or a Michigan or some of the other teams that, again, I think have those cultures established, I'm really curious to see how the Buckeye season plays out here.
All right, Jeff, give me your prediction. Is it going to work? You tell me.
I think by the measure they're using, I don't think it will. I don't think Ohio State is going to win the national championship. By most people's reasonable measure, I think it will work. I do think Ohio State is, in my mind, the favorite to win the Big Ten championship this year. I think they will at least get to the Big Ten championship game. I'm curious to see how a few things play out. What's Oregon look like now in the upcoming season? I still think this Penn State program is worth keeping an eye on. I really like what Penn State has done with the transfer portal. Very selective there. I think the development at quarterback is just ultra important at Penn State, and we'll just have to see how that plays out. But I certainly think the Nittany Lions can be right there and in the mix. But my guess is that Ohio State, I don't think Ohio State gets to the national title game. I think they could get to the semifinals, but again, it just a pure guess, but I think they have so much invested in the NIL component that it is going to create some friction within the locker room. And I don't know that it's necessarily going to reveal itself until after the season, but I think that you'll hear some stories afterward about, yeah, man, we had some guys that were a little jealous of this, or, you know, a guy or two that were just a little too full of themselves. That's just my guess. I think it's really hard to not have that when you're looking at the money that has been floated out there to get some of these guys into Columbus for the upcoming season. But we'll see. Again, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah. And the couple variables, you're bringing in a new quarterback, you're bringing in a new offensive coordinator, and you're bringing in a star running back in Judkins from Ole Miss. When you have a star running back returning in Travion Henderson, we see that multiple running back stars has worked at Penn State, but those guys came in together. They're used to having to share the load there. And I know you're ready to respond to that, Jeff. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I will give you the opportunity to respond to that when we start out quarter number three. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. Jeff, we finished up quarter number two. We're talking about this Ohio State team, and they put all their chips on the table for this season. They did everything to bring in talent. They retained their guys. They, you know, went to the portal. But when we finished, I was pointing out just on the offensive side of the ball, let's start there. Bill O'Brien comes in as the new offensive coordinator. Those who listen to our show know I'm not the biggest Bill O'Brien fan in the world. So you've got a new quarterback in Will Howard coming in from Kansas State. That's an interesting – I'm not sure he's a sure bet there at quarterback. You also brought in the freshman quarterback from Alabama along with multiple guys that you have that are top-level talent. So I think the quarterback room could be a challenge. And then I'll throw in one more at running back. Travion Henderson is coming back. But Quentin Judkins from Ole Miss is coming in. Interestingly enough, Ole Miss was bringing in outside talent through the portal, paying them well, and decided maybe running back is not where we want to invest our money. He moves on to Ohio State, which apparently is willing to give him the money to be there. How's that dynamic with two star running backs going to work? Now, we've seen it at Penn State work, but those two guys came, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, they came in together. I think there's a difference than the money coming in to a portal guy. How's that all going to work, Jeff?
Well, I mean, we don't know is the real answer right now. Like, it's guesswork and speculation. I think one of the things that I think when you look at sports in general, right, like any coach at any level, like the problem, you know, I'll use air quotes around problem. The problem you'd like to have is, man, we just have so much talent. And yeah, egos that come with it. But boy, I don't know what we're going to do because we have so much talent. Like it sounds preposterous as a real problem. But when you're talking about the situation here with Ohio State, and listen, it happens in baseball too, right? Like every year the Yankees are trying to go out and buy a pennant, and sometimes it works, sometimes not so much. And when you have as many new pieces coming together here as you do with Ohio State, and listen, I don't know any of these kids, so I am unfairly projecting that I am guessing that some of them have some egos here. The part of why they came to Ohio State and took the big paychecks that came with it is, yeah, they think highly of themselves. Nothing wrong in and of itself with that. But if you have some kids that have been in Columbus 3 or 4 years, working their tail off, waiting for their opportunity, and these are really good elite kids as well, and they're not getting the money that these transfer portal guys are or the adulation, I don't see how you don't at least have to manage that locker room differently, right? I mean, we talked about, you go back to Pat Riley and many coaches over the years, it's like, yeah, man, they got a lot of talent, but now you got to massage the egos and figure out how to make this work. Some coaches, some teams, they do it. It does work. Others, it's like, oh, man, nope, those two were just butting heads all of the time. The coaches couldn't get a control of it. Or, again, it can be just within the locker room. Little jealousies creep up. And, yeah, I think your point about the quarterback room is a good one. I mean, those are a lot of guys, 3 or 4 anyway, that are like, you know, I think I'm the guy. I should be a star at the collegiate level. Well, one of them is going to be a starter. What happens to the others? Again, how does that play out in the locker room in terms of egos, feelings, and not even just the starter? Who's the backup? Who's third? What money is involved there now? And again, it's not just Ohio State that's dealing with this. All of the Power Five programs are dealing with similar issues to one degree or another. But I just think it's magnified because of the expectations at Ohio State, because of the number of new coaches and players coming in. Again, there's a lot there for Ryan Day to manage, and he may do it very successfully. I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that, yep, forget it, Ohio State has no chance because they brought in too much talent this year. It obviously could work, but I think it's a little more tricky than what some, you know, I've read some articles that are basically sounding like they want to hand Ohio State the national trophy right now. I just think you're undervaluing the importance of getting all of that talent to quickly come together, figure out how each other operate, how to bring out the best in each other. There's a lot there. And you know, Bill O'Brien's system, you know, how quickly does he adjust to what these guys' talents are and vice versa? Again, it may very well work. I'm not sitting here telling you that there's no way Ohio State can win this thing, but I think it is a much bigger challenge than what many are making it out to be. Managing that situation with all of the moving parts, I think is going to be maybe the biggest challenge yet for Ryan Day as a head coach there at Ohio State.
Well, I'm taking a look at their upcoming schedule this year, Jeff. And of course, they have just a ridiculously bad out of conference schedule. They play Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. Okay.
Oh, I thought, I must have had something wrong. I thought for sure they were playing Georgia, Texas, and no, that's not their non-conference. I'll be darned. Okay. Figure.
I know. Shocking, isn't it? And it's understandable. They have 9 conference games. Here are the challenging games that they have. At the top, Oregon. They're at Oregon. They're at Penn State. And they host Michigan. So those are 3 testing games that I think, you know, they could all be top 10 teams in a challenge. What you also have, if they are one of the 2 best teams, they'll be playing a conference championship game against not Iowa or Purdue. They'll be playing against another high-level team. They may have to beat Oregon twice or Michigan twice or Penn State twice to win the Big Ten and get one of those byes. Now the difference is with that 12-team playoff, especially if you don't get that bye, you've got to win, like, what, three games to get there. And that's a great challenge. You might still be the best team in the country and still not win the national championship because there's so many places to get tripped up. That's a lot of pressure to be putting on Ryan Day to say national championship or bust.
Agreed. Whoever does win the national title in the upcoming year, right, will have earned it, arguably more than any team previously. Like, that you, with the 12-team playoff format, like, that is a gauntlet that you're running at the end of the season. And yes, presuming it is, one of the Power Five teams, you're also going to have at least two or three other really big, important games during the course of your regular season and the conference championship. The one thing I will say, I'm just looking at the Buckeyes schedule as well, because I'm like, well, sometimes you can get tripped up somewhere where you're not expecting. And obviously that could happen. But the two most likely candidates to trip them up in my mind would be Iowa. But Iowa at home, right, is a much bigger threat than Iowa on the road. That game is in Columbus, of course, this year. And then just because of the history there, Purdue, I'm like, well, Purdue is just for whatever reason. But that game, lo and behold, is also in Columbus. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think regular season-wise, it really is three games that Ohio State has to worry about. And I'm not sure in Columbus they're telling you that they're worried about the trip to Penn State. I think they're worried about maybe two games in their minds being the trip to Oregon and then Michigan, just because it's Michigan.
Well, what I've heard from Ohio State people, I'm going to hesitate to use the word respect, but I do believe going to Penn State is a test for them. Even when Penn State has not beaten Ohio State, which is most of the time, they've been tests. You know, Penn State has had Ohio State down in the fourth quarter by double figures. I do think they, fear is also too strong a word, but I think they are concerned about, especially going to Happy Valley for a game. I think there is concern there. So those three games, it's going to be an interesting experiment to watch there, Jeff. And you've got this, I think as part of all this, that experiment of there are teams that are going in head first, diving into the portal for players. So far, I don't think we've seen it really work. We haven't seen it work at Texas A&M, who was one of the leaders in doing this. Colorado was a great story for the first couple of weeks, but then we hit the reality of it. I'm not sure we've seen the example yet where someone has really counted on the portal for specific players, especially at quarterback. We saw Washington with Penix. We saw Oregon with Bo Nix. I mentioned earlier LSU with Joe Burrow. Even Justin Fields going to Ohio State. At quarterback, we've seen it, that one position, but we haven't seen a team excel by depending on 10, 12 guys from the portal.
Yeah, no question. And again, to me, it's one of the really intriguing storylines to watch in the upcoming season. Because, listen, if Ohio State does turn out to be wildly successful and they do go on and win the national title, right, then it's going to feel like, all right, that's the blueprint moving forward. And the craziness that is the transfer portal may be ramped up, if it's possible, even more, with programs saying, yep, listen, we got to go in and, you know, we can't settle for getting four or five guys that might fit. We got to go get as many of the big time guys that make themselves available as we can. A lot of things to watch, obviously, in the upcoming season and in the Big Ten with the four new schools and everything else. But that Ohio State experiment, if you want to call it that, I think is one of the most fascinating things to me to watch this season.
It really will be. Of course, I'm a Penn State fan. Jeff, I'm going to be rooting against it. All right, we have more to go. I actually have a wrestling question for you when we start quarter number four, Jeff. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. We've been talking college football. Jeff, I'm going to shift gears here. I'm going to dive into the land where I know nothing, and that is wrestling, okay? I know Penn State has an incredible wrestling program, and there's nobody who knows the wrestling program better than you, my friend. Last week, we got a question. I think it was in our Ask Andy segment, and the question was about the wrestling team, and I'm thinking, well, you know what? I've got a guy. Got a guy who is perfectly ready, willing, able to answer this kind of question. And the question was this, Jeff. Is this year's Penn State wrestling team their absolute best? And I know enough about wrestling to know that is a big deal if you could say a Penn State wrestling team is their best ever.
And you're going to ask this of Landon Tangwall when he's back on with you. That's the expert you're talking about. I actually have a new public policy, Jim. I don't talk wrestling in public anymore. I'm sorry about that. I just it's just been too much over the years. No, I
thought it was one time exception, Jeff. How
all
about
right,
that?
We'll allow just this one time. You twisted my arm hard enough. I will this one time. Go ahead and talk some wrestling. Listen, so. Do I think this team has that potential and could do that? Yes. Wrestling is, I guess, like all sports, right? Like what you do during the regular season matters. It's important. It's a big deal. You want to win the dual meets. You want to look impressive. You want to put on a show for the fans and all of that. But you're setting the stage for the postseason. And the postseason is where those ultimate determinations are made, right? The Patriots, this might be the greatest NFL team ever. They went undefeated through the regular season. They lost on a kind of fluky, unbelievable play against the Giants, never to be heard from again as one of the great teams in the National Football League. So, yes, do I think this team can be there? Yes. And my gut is that they will go down as the greatest team that Cale Sanderson has assembled. And I think they have a real shot here, Jim, to go down as the greatest team in the history of college wrestling. I think that is a legitimate, as we sit here today, possibility. And that is even without, by the way, their second-ranked wrestler at 149 pounds, a returning All-American who finished third last year, Shane Van Ness, who's out with an injury for the rest of the season. And I am absolutely convinced that Shane Van Ness was going to win the national title this year at 149. He had just, he was in such a great place in his pursuit of that. Even with him out of the lineup, I think this team has a chance to get there. I also do think it is the greatest team that Cale has assembled in this regard. And that is actually case in point with 149 pounds. So you lose the second-ranked wrestler in the country, in my mind, the favorite to win the national title there at 149 pounds. And now Penn State has a battle between Tyler Kasak and David Evans. And I think both of those guys are capable of getting on the All-American podium at the end of the year. So that depth-wise, you know, we saw it with Terrell Barraclough filling in. Carter Sturacci's out with illness, and Terrell Barraclough, a 165-pounder this season for Penn State, moves up a weight class, weighs in basically at 165, a little over 165, goes up against a true 174-pounder in Shane Griffith, a three-time All-American, a national champion when he was at Stanford and now at Michigan. And Terrell Barraclough loses a 2-1 decision and is in on a single leg where it looks like he may win it. I mean, he is taking to the brink. This is your backup at 165. Across the board, the depth that Penn State has in that wrestling room right now, I think may be unprecedented in the sport. I think if you took the non-starters, and I hesitate to call them backups because in a few of the weights, it's guys that are redshirting that are elite. So, you know, the backup connotation has, well, this is a guy that can't beat out the starter. In some cases, they might not be able to beat out the starter, but by the end of the year, it might be really, really close there. But if you took the non-starters in that wrestling room right now, I really think that I'm absolutely convinced they'd finish top 10 at the NCAA tournament themselves. And I'm not sure they wouldn't be in strong contention for a top 5 spot at the NCAA tournament. But this starting group, Jim, you know, right now all 10 wrestlers are ranked in the top 12 of their weight class. 9 are ranked in the top 7. 8 are in the top 5 of their weight class. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything in terms of the postseason success. But what it tells you is, yeah, the potential is there for this team to have 10 All-Americans. That's only been done once in the history of NCAA wrestling. And that Minnesota team that did it had 10 All-Americans, but no finalists that year. They won the national title, but didn't have anybody even in the finals. So they had no champions, no runners-up, but they had 10 guys finishing 3rd through 8th. This Penn State team has the potential to get 10 All-Americans and to get 5 or 6 guys in the finals and 5 or 6 guys that could win national championships. That is unprecedented in this sport.
Okay, I think you answered my next question. Was it you have to be in the top 8 to be called for All-American status?
Correct. In wrestling, they take the top 8 at each weight class, and yes, those are the 8 that are designated as All-Americans. And you have 33 that go to the NCAA tournament. It is really hard to get 10 guys qualified. Usually there's at least one team. There's usually like 2 to 4 teams that get all 10 of their wrestlers qualified for the national tournament, meaning, you know, they come through their conference tournaments at a high enough placing that they advance at their weight class. Just getting 10 guys to nationals is a huge challenge and is a big deal. Again, getting 10 on the podium, 10 in the top 8 at their weight class, it's been done once, and that team did not have any finalists. You know, Penn State, again, it's all potential right now, but yes, as you look at it, could they get all 10 of the starters, whoever is the starter at 149, on the podium? Yes, that's certainly conceivable. Again, 9 of the guys would have to wrestle to their ranking right now, wouldn't have to do anything above that. You know, one would have to wrestle up just a few spots from their current ranking to earn All-America honors. The all-time NCAA record for most wrestlers in the finals was Iowa with 6. And that was the year that they set the NCAA scoring record in 1997 of 170. Iowa had 5 champions that year. Nobody's ever had more than 5 individual champions in one tournament. Iowa's done it twice, Penn State's done it twice, and Oklahoma State did it once. So that 5 champions has only happened 5 times in the history of the sport. 6 finalists has only happened once. Again, Penn State right now has 4 wrestlers ranked number 1. 1 wrestler ranked number 2. So if you project that out, obviously that would give you 5 finalists. And then they have 2 at number 5 in Aaron Nagao and Bernie Truax, and they have Mitchell Messenbrink, who is ranked seventh, but that is a top 3-4 guy. That weight class is loaded. I don't think there's anything guaranteed there, but Mitchell Messenbrink is higher than number seven. I'm very confident that at the end of the season, if he's healthy, he will finish higher than seven, and I think he could be another finalist there for the Nittany Lions. And Braden Davis, the true freshman, is sitting there at number four now. He jumped 10 spots in the Intermat rankings this week, undefeated still at number four. And I think that 125-pound weight class is wide open, Jim. Like, I think Braden Davis is one of probably 12 kids thereabouts who could win a national title or not get on the podium. And I think those are all possible. But boy, the trending of Braden Davis and the direction he's heading is certainly a very good one and a positive one for Penn State. So again, I'm not predicting anything, but when you look at this lineup, could this team get 10 All-Americans? Yep. Is it preposterous to think they could get seven in the finals? Not preposterous. Braden Davis could get there. Mitchell Messenbrink could get there. The five that are ranked in the top two obviously could get there. Well, that gives you seven right there. And could this team get five or six national champions? Yeah. All of that stuff. Again, if they got seven in the finals, unprecedented. 10 on the All-American podium, only done once before. Six champions, never been done before. Five champions would equal the all-time most. I mean, this team has in front of it the potential to, yes, go down as clearly and unquestionably the best team in college wrestling history, but you got to go do it when it counts.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I obviously do not follow this team nearly as closely as you do, but over the years, this has not just been a very talented team. It seems like a team that excels in the postseason. What is the common thread that makes that happen, Jeff?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One is the kids that they go after. They go after kids who have what I'll call the winning mentality. And ironically enough, that winning mentality with Penn State wrestling means that your focus is not on winning. What? It's not. It is on improving, on truly getting the best out of yourself day in and day out, being willing to test yourself, challenge yourself, get yourself out of your comfort zone, try things that you're not comfortable doing, figuring out ways to get better. Again, every day you're in that room, and focus on the process, and then the winning takes care of itself. So they bring those kids in, and then, yeah, they do a tremendous job of fostering that commitment. Like, just let it fly. Don't hold back. Don't try to protect a lead. Go wrestle. Go have fun with it. Let your ability speak for itself. And Penn State has, unlike any team we've seen in the history of the sport, in particular since 2016, Penn State kids have just risen to the occasion when the spotlight is brightest.
All right, Jeff, that is it for our wrestling segment. Fantastic. I'm glad you're able to carry me for that. That is it for quarter four. That is it for our show. Thank you all for joining us. Join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.